Oh no.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we're coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and it's done in a fun, upbeat improv style. So we're going to provide you with a lot of tips, free advice, free resource information on how to pursue a career in show business. Now, we have lots of guests that work in various professions in the entertainment industry. So what that means is that we're going to have a guest on that is from a career that you're interested in. So if you want to know who's going to be in the show, in the future, you can visit the website, the Question Reality website, and that address is questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us. And if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, listen or download any of the shows 24 hours a day, you can do that on the LA Talk Radio website, which is the website you should be on right now if you're listening to us. Up at the top, you're going to see a Schedule 1 link. Again, that's up at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. You want to click that, look for our show, Question Reality. It'll be in the time slot of Sunday at 5, and then you click on the link, and that'll take you directly to the archive page where you can peruse at your own leisure. You can also download us from the podcast section of iTunes. And from what I understand, exciting news, we are actually going to be getting our own LA Talk Radio iPhone application. So I haven't heard anything back, but it came out a couple weeks ago, the news. So I'll let you know what's going on with that. We would love for you to call in and ask questions and provide comments of any of the guests on the show, but we ask that you call between 5:20 and 5:30. And when you call in, please keep in mind that we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. The call-in number is right in front of you if you're currently listening to us live, and that number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Now, I am going to ask you to get your little pen and paper out because we have a lot of really good stuff to tell you about. You might want to jot that down. First, if you want to go hear some great jazz after our show, of course, some great jazz tonight at 7 o'clock, there is a band playing. It's Sir Winston's Jazz and Soul Quintet, and they're a fantastic group. They play really top-notch jazz and soul music. They're going to be at the Bull Bar, B-U-L-L Bar, at 3316 East 7th Street, and that's in Long Beach. And there's no cover charge. The food is really great. The drinks are very inexpensive, and it's a great Sunday night crowd just to get you in the mood for Monday. You want to have a little cocktail before Monday. The second thing I want to tell you about is our guest from last week, Matthew Scalarud. He is having this really, 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 really cool event at the Community Marketing Inc. It's a gay and lesbian marketing conference, and it's going to be held in New York on April the 30th at the Westin Times Square. And you can register online for that. It's a one-day conference. You go to Community Marketing Inc. CommunityMarketingInc.com, and you can view the conference agenda. You don't want to miss out. They're going to have basically, it's comprehensive research, advertising, marketing. There's a communications forum, and it's helping you better understand the gay and lesbian consumers. You know, the audience, it's perfect for marketing, advertising, PR executives, people of all industries who want to successfully reach the gay and lesbian communities, which is a huge market, as we know. And you can initiate or update all your effective strategies that you're currently working on, or you need to get some. Let's see. The dedicated attendance, the conference attendance is limited, though, from what I understand. So in order to facilitate the best learning and networking environment, they're going to just have a really small audience. So you probably want to jump on that as soon as possible. Community Marketing, Inc., they've been successfully connecting the clients with diverse gay and lesbian communities worldwide since 1992, and they do that through consumer marketing intelligence and strategic planning. Now, Matthew Scalarud, he owns a company called Pink Banana Media, and they specialize in unique aspects of the LGBT online marketing. They do matching, they match products or services to targeted online communities through geographic and demographic targeting. So his company is rocking out, and he's going to be one of the speakers there. He's a fantastic orator. Just to listen to him is just you're going to be bedazzled. So what they're going to cover, just to kind of give you an idea, they're going to be doing like a review of the community marketing's research with over 30,000 out consumers. They're also going to be doing internet and email marketing, social networking, and other emergency communications technologies. They're going to be exploring diversity markets within the LGBT market and how you can reach them. They're going to be doing focus group insights and trends, maximizing print and PR research, direct response marketing outreach, et cetera, fantastic. So if you want to register for that, there is a pre-registration by March 31st, and it's $245 for the half-day pre-registration, though, is offered at $195. So again, it's $245, but if you want to do the half-day thing, it's offered for $195. There is standard and on-site registration. Like if you get there, that's $295. So you'll have to pay a little bit more if you just show up. And then there's if you want to go two plus from the same company, it's $225 each. Five plus people from the same company, $195 each. So the more people you bring, the less. So again, registration is available online for this conference. Matthew Scalarud is going to be there. Fantastic, fantastic opportunity to increase your business. Again, go to their website, which is thecommunitymarketing.com. And you can check it out. Again, if you need the phone number, 415-552-5104. Okay, Community Marketing Inc., INC.com. Okay, so fantastic. Lastly, I just want to tell you about, you know, that fantastic game show, Let's Make a Deal. Oh, it was one of my favorites when I was a child. Everybody knows it. You dress up in costumes, you go on the show, you can win a Mercedes or you can win a car that's been bashed in and beat up and has one wheel. So they, if you're interested in being on the show, it's Let's Make a Deal. It's being hosted currently by Wayne Brady on CBS. Email me and I can get you some tickets, some free tickets. The show's been taping at the Tropicana in Las Vegas, but for 5 weeks, they're taping live in Los Angeles, okay? So I can get you tickets. All the contestants chosen from the audience, you can win a new car, vacation, computer, furniture, tons of cash. You can email me at Priscilla, P-R-I-S-C-I-L-L-A, at questionreality.us. Again, Priscilla at questionreality.us. Now, for the fun part, our guest today comes to us from, we're going to let him tell you all about himself. I'm just going to do like a little tiny bit, give you a little tiny brief bio. Our guest today is Justin Monroe. He is a photographer, and Justin works in LA and New York with a group of known stylists and art directors, and he's also known in the international fashion industry. And But what I understand, his vision is what captivated noted celebrities such as Janice Dickinson, Perez Hilton, Amanda Lepore, as well as a diverse array of editorial clients like Flaunt Magazine, Zinc Magazine, Crew Magazine, Dazed and Confused Magazine, London Gay Times, DNA, and so many more. And Justin has shot about hundreds of covers for magazines across the globe, from what I understand. And Justin has also been featured on season 2 and 4 of the Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency show, which I never got to watch, and I'm so upset about that. But we didn't have cable, that we didn't get the channel on our cable network. So I was very, very, very sad, because I love Janice Dickinson, even though she's wicked. She's wicked cool, though. He works notably for many advertising clients that include Magic Castle, Ruskin, Giovanni, Sebastian International, Romanoff, The Diamond Company, Glaza, Skin Graph, et cetera, et cetera. So many. And throughout his conceptual work, I understand that he's also considered to be the bad boy of photography. He has that label. So we're going to find out why he is known as the bad boy of photography. Are you there with us, Mr. Justin Monroe?
Yes, I am, Priscilla. How are you today?
I am fantastic now that I'm talking to the bad boy of photography. That's a new title. There's this thing, the bad boy of rap I've heard of. I've heard bad boy of New Jersey, but I've never heard the bad boy of photography. Why did they call you the bad boy of photography?
You know, it's a name that just kind of follows me around. I think probably because I take a subject that a lot of people won't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Oh. I don't know. Some of those pictures that I looked at, you've got a couple 10-foot poles going on in those pictures. And I want to meet them. I want to meet those guys with the 10-foot poles, too.
Yeah, and that's not Photoshop either.
I know. All the best gay men have the 10-foot poles. You don't see heterosexual men with the good packages. God darn it.
What is that about?
You can't get a good heterosexual man with the kind of equipment that you hot gay men have. What's going on? I think God was prejudiced.
You know what? That's exactly what I was going to say. I think definitely God definitely loves his gays.
Yes, he does. He just gave him better equipment. My God. Hey, I wanted to, I got lots of questions that came in from the people who got the promotional emails that I sent out, but I have a couple questions in there too, and I'm going to do kind of a mix. Now, my first question I like to start out with, because so many people want to know, did you always want to be something? So my first question is, did you always know that you wanted to be a photographer?
You know, it's kind of a job that picked me. I really didn't pick it. It was just one of those things that kind of through osmosis kind of happened. When I was really young, I used to travel with my parents in a rock and roll band, and we would travel from city to city. I basically grew up on a tour bus, and I had a little plastic camera that didn't even work. And I would pretend to take pictures and create stories in my head of just strangers I would meet on the street. So later in my life, I became a hairdresser, and I started doing hair for photographers, for editorials, fashion magazines, et cetera, et cetera. And I just all of a sudden found myself levitating to the photography side of that whole genre. And I decided to go to school, learn how to use a camera. Once I did that, I was so hooked, and all of that stuff from my childhood, I think, just came like flooding back to me. And now I can't imagine doing anything else in the world.
Oh, my God. Well, see, you're one of the lucky people. A lot of people have to go through a lot of jobs before they find their career. So I'm always fascinated with finding out how a person got started, because you just never know. It's people take different paths in life. So another question I have is, of the various types of professions in photography, and of course there are many, such as commercial photographers, still photographers, photojournalists, fashion photographer, etc., what type of photography career do you feel is the most lucrative? Now, I know that for me, I know the answer, that it really depends on who you are, what you want, what your goals and objectives are. But for a lot of people have asked me that question. And how do you answer that?
You know, it's a really difficult question because there's so many different levels of photography.
Right.
You know, there's like the beginner photographer that wants to own his shop and have a thriving business. There's also like the big fashion photographer that works in the big fashion house, and that's a different level. So it's kind of hard to say what is the most lucrative. A wedding photographer can make a ton of money, and yet a fashion photographer can make a ton of money as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a hard question.
Right.
I basically think it's you know, the photographer that wants to get out there and work mm-hmm. and hone in the clients.
Yeah. If I was a young person and I knew that I liked taking pictures, but there are so many different fields, commercial photographer, still photo, et cetera, what would you recommend that one would do in order to find out which one is best for you? Because if you're young, all you know is I like to take pictures, but you don't necessarily know what type of photographer you want to be. What's the path in going about to find out that process?
Again, I think it's one of those things that will kind of come to you mm-hmm. because some people are people. So if you love engaging with people, you love talking to people, love directing people, basically you love telling people what to do, mm-hmm. then you're probably going to be shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're kind of a loner, more of a quiet, introspective kind of thinking type person, you maybe will want to just be by yourself with an assistant and a tripod and go out and shoot landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think your personality will come through in your photography.
Right.
As long as you pick up the camera and use it all the time, it'll come to surface.
That is an excellent answer. I really appreciate that. That is perfect because, again, I believe that you really have to have a personality for what you do. A lot of people decide on careers based on what their parents want them to do or what's going to make the most money or what's going to have the most power. And then they start doing it and then they realize, you know what, it's not, I don't like it. And some of them will stay with their jobs forever because they're trying to please somebody else. And they're really not, they end up not being good at their jobs because that's not what they want to do. So I have always believed that your personality really needs to dictate where you go in life and what career you have. I really believe that.
Amen. You know, I want to share a quick story with you really quick.
Sure.
That happened when I first started into photography and I was shooting for clients that I was really not actually that thrilled to be shooting with, but I was doing it just for the buck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to work, I'm selling my soul to the devil, shooting stuff that I thought was crap, okay? And I got so burnt out, I decided to quit altogether. And when I did that, it was funny, I did that and all of a sudden my phone started ringing for the kind of jobs that I wanted because
wow.
I kind of, I guess, threw my arms up to the universe and said, okay, this is it. If this is all you got from me, I can't do this anymore. And then I just had to make it a choice. Do I walk away or do I walk through this next door and see where it leads me? But at that pivotal time in my career, I decided right then and there, I will only shoot what I want to shoot from now on.
That's right. That's right.
And when I did that,
mm-hmm.
and when I did that, then the kind of people that liked my work started seeking me out and finding me. Before, I didn't know who I was, so they
right.
weren't going to have any idea who I was.
That is perfect. See that? Exactly what you said. If you don't know who you are, then nobody else is going to know who you are. And when you're doing a job that you don't really like to do, you have a block up. Whether you realize it or not, it's a mask.
Yes.
There's a mask, some sort of, whether it's a mask of false bravado, there's some sort of mask that is on. And people don't feel you channeling through who you really are. So you might as well not even take a job that you don't like. Or if you're in a job that you don't like, get out of it. My God, save yourself. We're just on this earth for such a short time, right, Justin?
You are absolutely right.
Woo, Lord.
I subscribe to that.
I'm telling you. Now, I have a question here. This this question for you comes from Peter from Boca Raton. And he says, dear Justin, if I decide to go to school to study photography, other than the obvious classes that are in the curriculum, what classes would you suggest that will help me get work in the real world?
I would say take a business course. It's always a slippery slope between artistry and being a business person. And it takes a business person to know how to handle their business.
Amen.
And artists have a tendency to just kind of want to shy away from that side of their career. And if you do shy away from that side of the career, it won't be a very lucrative one for you.
Now, what kind of business courses would you suggest? Like personal accounting, you know, marketing, what kind of classes?
Well, if they offer a photography business course, like basically invoicing, rights of usage for photographs, basically, you know, bookkeeping, taxes, all of that stuff for your specific field, that would be an awesome way to go.
If they don't have it,
I would take a basic business owner's course. Like if you were to open up a laundromat or whatever, you're still going to have to know the basic fundamentals of business. You're still going to have to know the basic fundamentals of taxing and what you can get away with and what you can't with the IRS, because all that's very, very important when you're running a business, because you want to take every advantage you can, but you also want to do it legally.
That is so true. I mean, so many artists make that mistake. You know, they don't really have a lot of them say to me, I just don't have the mentality to be able to deal with the business aspect, and they just want to focus on the artistry. What do you say to people who say, I don't have the mentality, I can't stand it? I mean, it is so important that you do that, but how do you get an artist to do that? What do you say to them to get them to realize the importance of taking business courses?
Well, I mean, if they really are adamant against not doing it, I mean, I would say God bless you. Because, you know, I don't
because
know.
Because the tax man's coming after your ass, right?
Yeah. Grab your ankles, baby.
Yeah, bend over.
So I would just say, you know, basically, if you can't do that and you want to be focused on your art, which is so important, really, hopefully you have a partner, or hopefully someone in your family, or, you know, someone in your business can learn the business side to help you out and teach you, because you'll learn through learning through them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But there are some people who are artists that cannot do it at all. And I have some very successful friends and they cannot do it at all. So they leave it up to someone else.
Yes, yes. And hopefully you'll be successful enough that you can afford to have somebody to do it for you. But in the beginning, get your mother to do it, right? Your mother and your father, they're the only ones you can trust, and that's questionable sometimes. Now, I have another question for you. This is from Emmanuel from Long Island. And Emmanuel says, dear Justin, since the inception of digital photography, there has been a controversy between the photo quality of digital versus film. When should you use film over digital?
For me, basically, I think, you know, I was raised on film, so I was kind of a film snob, and I went through the transition like everyone else, and I was like, well, I'm probably not going to like it, and you know, I tried my best to resist it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
And basically, at this point, all I do is shoot digital. I would say the time to shoot with film would be when you want to do really beautiful black and whites. Because the black and white digital and black and white film are not the same. That is really the true discrepancy in film versus digital. The black and whites aren't as rich. You don't get as many tones. And if you're doing like an exhibit, or if you have a client that wants really lush images and they have the budget for film, then I would go ahead and shoot film. You definitely have to be a lot more critical when you're shooting with film than you do digital, because you can't just fix it with like a little flip of a knob. But, but you know, I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than a black and white image that's shot on film.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I tell you, this is going to segue into a personal question that I have, which a lot of people will kill me if I don't ask you. But I'm an actress as well. And do you know, I am still using black and white headshots. And you know, in our industry, it changes. Once about 10 years ago, all black and white. Now it's color. And there's, you know, you got agents saying, I won't even look at anything if it's not color. And then you have other agents who say, I don't care if it's black or white or color. And it's like, I have been using black and white, and I got called in for tons of stuff. And it seemed like to me, it didn't matter. I was getting as many calls as people with colored headshots. So for the listeners, I have a lot of listeners who are actors, and their headshots, as you know, can make you or break you in reference to even getting you in the door for an initial audition. And because of this reason, a lot of them are still having a hard time deciding if their headshot should be done in film or digital. Now, most photographers will say, won't even give you an option, but there are still photographers who say, do you want your headshots on film or digital? So I know you just briefly covered that with black and white, but with most agents making them get the colored headshots, what is your opinion on that issue for headshots for actors, if you do in fact know anything about that area?
Well, I've never shot a headshot in my life. it's kind of art in its own, but I do know that, you know, I don't think a headshot is that crucial that you would really have to shoot film. I mean, a persnickety producer or agent isn't going to be able to tell if it was shot on film or shot with a digital camera. Mm. So, you know, it's basically going to be whatever they're looking for at the time.
Uh-huh.
If someone has told them particularly that it's only in now to have colored headshots, then that's what they're looking for. And if that's what they're thinking, they could look at your black and white headshot and think, well, we don't like her. I mean, we don't know why, but she doesn't have a colored headshot. So I would say cover your bases. I would have one of each.
I love it. Yay!
And then if you shoot it on digital, you don't have any extra expense, but you got a black and white option and you got a color option.
I love it. I love it, because that's what I do. I have my black and white ones, and I have my colors up, and hey, they want you, they want you, they don't, they don't. Okay, our next question comes from Lauren from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Lauren says, Dear Justin, as we all know, lighting is of the utmost importance. Do you have any suggestions for which type of light and backdrops to use shooting various skin types? I don't know what that means, skin types. Maybe she means like races, like black people, white people, Asian people.
Right. Well, that's a pretty broad question.
Oh,
because
cool.
It depends kind of on what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Generally, you know.
I'm going to choose, just to narrow it down, since that is broad. Let's take how about a pale. Let's do a hard person, like a Irish person, like a pale, maybe a very white pale person. What would you do? What would you recommend for the light and backdrop for a pale person?
You can either use tungsten lighting, uh-huh, or you can use strobe lighting. That's totally up to you. You know, it's all basically whatever you prefer and what your client prefers. So lighting pretty much is more of a personal preference. I wouldn't put somebody really pale on a white backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a neutral gray.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's complementary to their skin tone. Mm-hmm. You know, even black, if you want something that looks a little more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
well, you know what? I'm gonna I'm gonna I'm gonna I'm gonna going to ask a question of that, Justin. In what basic, I'm going to kind of hone in with what I think this person is asking. What are the basic, like basic lights, like let's just say starting out, what are some of the basic lights and backdrops that you would want to get if you were a beginner? Because I notice a lot of people that wrote in are beginners. So what are you, what are the basic equipment that you would even suggest getting?
So if you are if you're a beginner and you're interested in doing portraits, okay, let's make it easy. Mm-hmm. Then I would get a neutral gray backdrop, mm-hmm. and I would also get a neutral gray, a white, and a black.
Okay.
Then you've got your bases covered. Okay. I would get a strobe pack. Profoto makes an amazing strobe pack, and there is a portable strobe pack which is called the Profoto 7B.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's portable. You charge it with a battery. You can take it anywhere. You can use strobes. You can use. You can go to the beach. You can go in the studio with it. It's just a really good traveling pack. For someone starting out, that's a great idea. I would get possibly a beauty dish and maybe a softbox if you're interested in doing, portraits and such.
Mm-hmm. That just, sounds great. That sounds like a real kit there. And I'm sure that when you take the commercial, when you take photography classes, they tell you what you need to get, right? Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. When you're in a photography class, especially if you're in a lab where you're actually in the studio, mm-hmm. they have so many different types of lighting tools for you to use. They have umbrellas. They have softbox. They have strip lights. They have Optibanks. I mean, they just have all of these different lighting sources for you to study, because you'll find that for different situations, you're going to want to use different lighting. And the only way to really learn what works is to just use it.
Is to try it right. Yeah, there you go. Now, this question comes from Diego from Chatsworth, and he said, "Dear Justin," I think we kind of covered this, but okay. All right. "What make and model of camera did you start out using, and why? What is that? I don't understand that. These people. Learn how to write, people. Okay. What make and model of camera did you start out using, and why? And why? Oh, I understand what he said. Okay. What, you know, when they don't put apostrophes, you know, I get all.
And why?
You know how I am. Okay. What make and model of camera did you start out using, and why? And the same question for what equipment you use today. There you go.
Okay. I started off with a little Pentax camera. It's been so long, I don't even remember what model it was. I would say now, if you're starting out, Canon makes amazing cameras, and they vary in range. So if it were today and I was starting out, I would choose a Canon. Right now I use a Mamiya RZ with a digital back, and I also use a 7B by Canon.
Now, is that for, you use that for everything? Because I know you do, you know, commercial photography, fashion photography. Do you use the same camera for everything, or do you use different cameras for different types of photography that you do?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the look that I want. If I want something like larger and more lush, I use my Mamiya. And if I'm working for, you know, something on my book, I'll use my Canon, my 35 millimeter. It just depends on, you know, the scene, the setting, the format. You know, magazines sometimes have quirky formats. So that kind of, you know, lends itself to your decision making as well.
Exactly. Now, I have a question. Now, speaking of lighting and cameras, now this is going to be a little question that throws you off, and I don't even know if you can answer this because it's a little different, but I'm going to be producing and directing a music video in the near future, and I wanted to get a certain shot in a pool, and someone suggested using two China balls as the best lighting. Now, I didn't know what the hell a China ball was, but I've been asking around, and it seems like there's a split on whether it's a good idea for my shoot. So my question to you is, what do you feel the best use is for China balls, and when's the best time to use them? You know, do you know anything about China balls?
Chinese balls?
China balls.
Chinese balls. Oh no. You're talking about photography.
Yeah.
And lighting. I went for a minute.
Me too, because I love my Asian men, and I was thinking back to 1984 Chinese balls, but that's another thing. Woo.
You know, if you want a soft light source, basically that kind of, you know, is going to be, I don't know what you want your scene to look like.
Well, here's what it is. I'm going to just tell you, and you tell me. I have a guy, he gets shot, he falls in the pool. I want the pool to be lit, and when he falls in the pool, I want the blood to be like falling down in the water, but there's a picture of a woman that's going to be floating on top. So I want the hand to be touching the picture with the blood, with the light coming up from the bottom of the pool. And it's nighttime. It's a nighttime pool scene.
Okay. So basically, you know, you're going to have a lot of dealings with reflection. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, the soft white light that you're talking about, like a China ball light, is a great way to light it. You're just going to have to be very careful where you place it.
Hmm. Where would you suggest you place it? Right directly over top of the scene?
I would say probably more like 45 degrees.
Hmm.
And kind of work your camera angle to where you get your light, but you don't see the reflection in the water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so got it.
It's going to be a little tricky, but it will totally work.
Well, I'll be calling you when the time gets here. So I don't know. I can't afford you. I'm going to have to bribe you another way. I'm going to have to figure out what your weakness is to get you on the set to help with that one. What's your weakness?
China balls.
Oh, China balls! Well, I'll bring enough for you to play with on the side.
Okay. Perfect.
Now, we have a couple more questions, and then we're going to wrap it up. This person comes from Lisa from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. She says, "Dear Justin, how do you exhibit your photography, and what is the most you can hope for?" The heck does that mean? I don't know what the hell that means.
Alrighty.
Okay. All right.
How do I exhibit? I exhibit most of my photography through publishing of books. My first book is called Down the Rabbit Hole. It's an erotic journey like Alice in Wonderland, but it's the coked up, drugged up, souped up, sexed up version. Actually, it's the sexed up tranny version. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I definitely have a definite type of person that is like a fan of my work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, basically through my books, I do exhibits when my books come out,
okay.
But I'm not a big exhibitor per se in between.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm working on my new book called Playthings, which is due out in October of 2010, right before the holidays, we're going to do gallery openings in the major cities as well as book signings and such.
Are you going to be here in LA? Where can we find out?
Oh, yeah. Well, the last time I had my book signing at a different light in West Hollywood,
okay.
They've closed now. So Yeah, I have a different publisher this time than I did the previous time. So I, you know, they haven't really planned anything yet because the book's not due out till October.
Right.
So, but it will be somewhere local for sure. If you go to my website, I have a section on my website that says fun stuff. And my website is www.justinmonroe.com. And, you know, I will post things like upcoming events, book signings, you name it, and people can like stay tuned and stay in touch with what's going on with me and my work, and also they can order my books there as well.
Yay! Right on your website?
Yeah, or Amazon.com as well.
Okay, and are you also on Facebook?
I am on Facebook, yes.
So I'm going to Facebook you after the show.
Yeah, definitely.
And that way you can, that way I can get on your list with the notice for your book, and then I can do a whole email blast to my contact list to let everybody know when it's going to come out.
Awesome. I would love that. That
okay.
would be amazing.
You do keep up on that, right? And you'll like let everybody know where you're published. Or is that Steve Levine's job to let everybody know? Who's in charge of that? Who's in charge, Justin?
That's Steven's job.
All right. Well, I'm going to Facebook you. That way we become friends, and that way I can let everybody know the play things come out. Now, I don't know. That now, the down the rabbit hole, for the pictures on your website, my God, I want to tell you, I have never seen such beautiful pictures like I've seen on your website under the viewer section. That woman is, I don't know who she is, the woman's in the nun's outfit. I'm assuming that there was more than one because, I mean, even though the makeup was similar, I could tell that the first lady, I think there might have been three different ones, but my husband's like, no, they're all the same person.
No, they're different. They're all
different
people,
aren't they? Because I mean, I loved. Oh my God! How now? See, you said that you've never shot a headshot in your life, which you haven't. But actually, in reality, that woman could take that shot, and that could be the best headshot of her life.
Ah, thank you.
It's beautiful. It's stunning. It's a, you know what it reminds me of? It's like a film noir, but in color. And it reminds me of Ingrid Bergman in Casablanca. I mean, that's what it evokes for me. Am I wrong?
Well, thank you so much. I mean, just because she's so classy and elegant, you know?
So beautiful. I mean, are you, now I know this sounds weird, but are you selling those? Because I would totally buy one.
Yeah, I sell prints on my website as well.
Oh, I didn't see that. So on your website, I didn't see anywhere where you were selling them. I would totally have bought that. Where is that section?
There's a print gallery. And you go in and it shows you what I have for sale and different sizes and what's limited and what's unlimited and
oh, is that,
all of that
the section where you need a code though to get in?
No, that's the XXX section.
Oh, I tried to get in there. You know, I was trying all kinds of passwords to get in there.
Yeah, that you got to pay for, babe.
I said, my God, are there more gorgeous buttocks in there that I can look at? What's that password? Okay, I am on the website right now. Where do I go to purchase? I see everything, but oh, is it under prints?
Yes.
Prints, and I went there, and I swear I didn't see anything related to. Oh, there it is, prints for sale. Okay, I see where it says prints for sale. Now, the one I'm interested in is that beautiful one at the top. I click on it, the one where she's holding the cross. Oh, and there it is, as clear as day. Buy now. I don't know what's wrong with me. Okay, so you hit buy now, and then you can just buy it directly on your site. Oh, look at that. You can also choose 5x7. 20 by 30, 40 by 60. Excellent. And I would assume that it comes rolled up and maybe, you know, when you buy it, it comes rolled up and you pick it up from the post office. Do you frame them as well, or you just give the print and then it's up to us to get them framed?
Yeah, I basically just give the prints, but they're rolled in protected paper on both sides.
Okay.
And they're in a really heavy-duty cylinder, so they come completely undamaged when they get there.
Fantastic. Now, is it going to look as gorgeous as it does on this on the website? This is just
They look better. My prints actually look better in person.
Oh my God. What paper you use? Kodak?
I use Ilford.
Okay. Do you print them out yourself or you use a printout place?
Yeah, we print them out inside our studio as well in Los Angeles.
Wow! Woo! My God! Well, I'm excited about this book. How many pages is it? The playthings that's coming out.
The new book is basically about 165, 170 pages, ultra color, hyper like extravagant colors this time. Mm. My last book was very colorful, but this time we've even pushed the envelope a little bit further. There is, it's basically a look into a demented toy maker shop in downtown Skid Row, Los Angeles. And it's kind of a cross between Madonna's sex book and Toy Story.
Oh, interesting. Does it have little stories like little
I have Perez Hilton as Humpty Bumpty. Mm-hmm. He's like a cocaine addicted nymphomaniac rotten egg. It's awesome. He was amazing on the photo shoot. He had everybody in stitches because he had this giant egg costume on.
What the hell could you do it? What is he doing in the egg costume? He was just posing in the egg costume, or what was he doing?
I can't even tell you. You have to see it.
The book.
it's so devilish. I can say Humpty Bumpty. Okay.
I like it. I like it. That's equivalent to the term boy butter for me. I like that. I love it. So what was Perez doing? Is he posing in the book?
Yeah, he's in the book. He's in this book coming out.
What is he doing? Yeah. Did you bend him over and spank him good like he deserves?
You know, I tried, but he flips me over and spanked me really good.
He is a hunk of man. He can do some flipping, right?
Yes, he's pretty scandalous.
Well, I'm excited. So we can buy both of those books on your website right now, even the older book, right?
Well, you can find the older book. The new one's not out yet, babe. Remember, the new one doesn't come out.
But you'll be able to buy it on your website when it comes out, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then the older book, where can we buy the older book?
Same place, on my website.
The same place?
Yes, it's publications.
Oh, I'm looking for that. I'm looking under publications.
Girl, are you drunk?
Did I tell you I'm not computer literate? Did I tell you that I have to have my husband do everything on the computer for me? Oh, my God. What is going on? I'm seeing Justin's work to be featured in the new art book, Beautiful Vision. I see that. That's fantastic. I wonder what that is. We're going to have to talk.
That's another book.
That's
a different book.
Oh, my God. Well, Justin, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. You have been a total little dreamboat, and it would be an honor to meet you one day, which is why I'm hoping that when you send your invitation that you allow everybody to come. Is it an open, a public exhibit that you're going to be having for the book, or is it going to be a private thing?
There'll be both.
It'll be both. Okay.
There'll be a private opening, and then it will be in the gallery for like a month or so after. So everyone can have a chance to go and see it.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're going to have the pictures blown up on the wall, some of them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, are some of the guys going to be there from the pictures, and do we get to touch them in any part?
Well, last time with my – you can touch them all you want. They do anything I say.
Well, let's just keep a little donation box next to them, and I'll bring my dollar bills because I want to touch some parts. Where do you find these hot-looking men? Where are you trolling to find these guys? Because they are I don't see these guys anywhere. Where are these guys?
Can I tell you, I live in heaven.
You must live in heaven.
I do.
I know that you got that one shoot. I was looking at your one shoot. It was in the UK, so I can understand that, honey, because I tell you, when I was living in England, I have never seen so many guys. And this was back in the 80s, and I swear to God, it was the first time that I had seen a bunch of men dancing together. And it's perfectly normal in Europe for a bunch of men to dance together. But here, you get men dancing together in heterosexual clubs in the 80s. Oh, my God, they were like out the side, ready to like beat us up, you know? But there were some hot looking guys in England in the 80s. So I know that you did that one shoot in the 80s. I mean, in England.
Yeah. Well, when I first started out, it was kind of difficult for me to find models, which I think this is another good thing for the new listeners, that the new photographers that are listeners as well. You know, in the beginning, you have to explain your concept and explain what you want to do with them, so they don't just think that you're like wanting to get them to come over for a perv fest.
Right. That's true. You know what happened to my darling boy, George? He had that guy come over, and the guy said that he wanted him for a photo shoot, and boy, George ended up tying him up. I don't know what happened to my boy, but he went a little crazy.
Well, boy, George didn't give him a concept. Boy George didn't have a concept. He just went in willy-nilly, right?
Exactly. He didn't have a concept. All he's thinking about, let me cuff him. Oh, my God, we're out of time. Justin, thank you so much for coming on the show. God bless you with all of your work. I am going to buy something from you. I'm going to Facebook you, and we'll keep in touch. If there's anything coming up you want to tell me about it, please feel free, and I'm going to advertise it on my show. Thank you, Justin Moreau. Find Justin Moreau and justinmoreau.com.
Thank you, my love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.